Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you here on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good fall day. It is a little overcast. Temps have gone way down. Certainly starting to feel like fall yet again. We enjoy our last conversation with Dave Dombrowski, who joined us when he first arrived on the scene to help the Nashville Stars, help get MLB to our wonderful city. And Dave is now on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourselves?
Oh, well, thanks for joining us again. It's been, I guess, several months since we last spoke, and I guess since we haven't talked in a while during this crazy 2020 year, how are things on your end, and how have things been going since we last spoke? What new can you tell us?
Well, actually, and for me, there's personally, it's a lot different because I have moved to town here with my wife. We moved here at the beginning of September. So once that happens, we've been able to be more actively involved in a lot of discussions and conversations with individuals. So we've had a lot of positive events take place with Music City Baseball. We continue to work on getting a site. We're putting together a ballpark. We've got very close as far as our original just diagram to present to individuals the different city and locations. So we've been working on that. We continue to work on talking to investors. We've had a lot of support from the community, tremendous support from local individuals, from businessmen, from the music community. And we just keep on trying to build our fan base, create interest, and work towards hopefully getting a franchise here within a few years.
I will admit, Dave, we have kind of gone into this dipping our toes in the water. This whole from the beginning to where we are today, we've tried not to get too excited. This is a show that absolutely is for this, wants this, and think it would be awesome for our city. But, you know, we've also had a lot of things come up. Willie and I have been doing this a long time in this market, and you learn sometimes not to get too excited because you may get disappointed. But I will also admit to you, every time we always enter with caution, you guys keep doing things, this group, like the hiring of you, the renderings, and just all the interaction that we've had with you guys. It makes it easier as time goes on to keep believing that, man, this may be a reality. If even the people that you're getting behind you to help with this movement of giving Major League Baseball into our market. So kudos to you guys on that front. But you just mentioned a couple of the next big hurdles, right? And more money, more investors. And I guess number one on the list, I don't know, you tell us, is location, right? You've got to find that plot of land where you could build that stadium. And how difficult has that been?
Well, I think, first of all, probably your thought processes are reasonable, and it's understandable because even as when we're approaching this, which we are full speed ahead, I mean, you have to realize this is not easy. This is a challenging task because there's so much that's involved. But I think that you have to be prepared to tackle each and every step, and that's how you make it work. So for us, one of the things that you are right, excuse me, I just have a little tickle in my throat there as I'm talking, that we're in a position where working on a ballpark destination, there are plots of land, there are places that are available. Of course, it's important to get, you know, preferred destinations, what makes sense, what would be good for the fan base, not only to draw to that area, to have access to the area. We've talked about having an entertainment venue, not just a baseball stadium. So all of those things are very important to us, and we just keep moving ahead, talking to different people, and having that happen. If we're going to get a team, we are going to have a destination. It's not something we have to have right now. But I would say by the middle of next year, assuming Major League Baseball, which again is some question marks with where they're heading just with COVID, what they decide to do, and if they decide to expand or relocate franchises at this time. But it's a situation where we need to be ready then to make presentations to Major League Baseball and have our ideas together. And part of that is just being ready every step of the way.
You're a name that got our attention with this hire, got a lot of people's attention. And if you believe the reports out there, you're a name that had a lot of people interested in you coming to their franchise to help them in the front office. One, how true was that? And two, if you chose not to take on a general manager front office position and stay here, why did you feel that was the right move? And we're happy about that, but I guess how would you answer that, those questions?
Well, you know, I would never be so presumptuous to feel that somebody's going to offer me a general manager's job. Anytime you're mentioned for that role, you feel honored to do so. But I think in my situation, as changes were coming up and various individuals may have reached out even behind the scenes, I made my thoughts clear because I did not want to be into wild goose chase and that my commitments were here, even though I've always loved being a general manager. It's a commitment that I made to Music City Baseball and to the city of Nashville to see if we could get this accomplished. So that's why I did it. So I did tell them that I gave the individuals here with John Lohr, Alberto Gonzalez, Lee Barfield, others, that they had my word and I was going to, when we came here, if they were willing to work with me, then I'd work with them. So my word's very important to me. So I gave that commitment here and I don't regret it at all because I very much, the reasons behind it is, I think it's exciting, the possibility of getting this done. Not easy. It's, again, a challenge. Going to be every step of the way, day by day. But I think if we have the potential to do it, and if I didn't think the potential existed, then I wouldn't have come here. I mean, if I thought it was completely, there's no shot, I'm just going to move to Nashville, even though I love the city of Nashville, that would not have been the way I would have approached it. But when you look at it, the people here, the plan they have, the city of Nashville, the growth here, the vibrancy, the diversity aspect for us, bringing somebody like Eddie George on board with us and working with us and others that we talked to. You can tell there's an excitement here, and I think we can make it happen. I travel around Major League Baseball all the time. I've been doing it for over 30 years, and you know what a Major League Baseball city is like, and Nashville is a Major League Baseball city.
Talking to Dave Dombrowski with Music City Baseball, the recent recommitment, if you will, because if you're reading the Athletic, great article by Ken Rosenthal, Dave, that you were quoted in, you just mentioned the commitment that you made, which is honorable for sure, but you had to have the commitment back from leaders of this group too. And so I think that's what we were curious, right? When we saw Tony La Russa had been hired with the White Sox, I know he'd been part of the Music City group on some level for a while, but that I think that article really was exciting because it was a two-way commitment, right? They had to also say, hey, we want Dave Dombrowski here, and we're willing to commit a four-year deal, according to the article.
Yes, yeah, no question. And I think a little bit different, too. Yes, there's a commitment here from the organization. They made the commitment to me and weren't able that they could pay me as long as we're in existence, which is hopefully a long, long time. But it's also one of those where it's a little bit different. For example, in Tony's case, becoming a manager here, is that, I mean, as an advisor, he, Dave Stewart, and others are baseball advisors, and actually Stu's on our executive committee. But they're not here day in and day out. I think it was important. My situation, I have a little bit different background. It's not only the baseball, but from the administrative perspective, front office, running the baseball operation, but also have been a president on the business side of the operation. So I understand that perspective and getting involved where, I mean, not that Tony and others couldn't handle that. Their expertise would be more, I think, considered on the field. So for me, I was willing to make that commitment to move here, and they were Music City Baseball to make the commitment back in order to get me here. And so I think there's so much more that you can do here because you really need to engage within the community. And I mean, I can't believe the number of individuals I've met, and people have been so welcoming. And again, not that it's going to be easy, but you can tell there's really a lot of interest in the community in trying to make this happen.
You could see the reaction from the national media when this article comes out. It really adds legitimacy and momentum to this vision here in Nashville. I'm curious, David, in your circles, when people would ask you, "Hey, are you really committed to this?" How surprised were they to hear you say, "Yeah, I think it's for real. I'm moving to Nashville. I'm making that commitment."
Well, I think it really varied depending upon who I talked to. But then once I got done, people would understand it, and I think that there was a segment of people that said, "I can't believe you would take one of these jobs," or that the position would exist to be a general manager somewhere else. And they're great opportunities, and again, not presumptuous that anybody would have offered me those, that I wouldn't pursue them. But then when I went into everything that I was involved, I mean, I think it's really important, too. I like what I'm doing. I think it's important that you like what you're doing. And again, not that every day is easy and not that there's not challenges that are involved, but I enjoy it, and I'm enjoying it in a place with my wife here that our children are both away from us. So, you know, they're in college age and just graduated from college, so they're not with us on a full-time basis. But that we like being here. We want to be part of the community here and to make this work. And I've been part of an expansion franchise. I joined it at a different juncture back with the Marlins. In 91, I joined them before they started, but they had already been awarded the franchise. So when I started explaining all that I just really enjoyed it, like the people, like the city, like the challenge, people say, you know, "Hey, good for you. That's fantastic." And I'm in a little bit different stage of my life than, say, others may be. I've interviewed some people here that, you know, not that we have jobs available right now, but they want to come in and talk. And, you know, I'm in my 60s now, so I can probably handle a speculative venture differently than I could if I was 40, mm-hmm. where I needed to support a family for sure and be in that spot. And, you know, I mean, I think it's going to work. I believe it's going to work, but I'm not so unrealistic to know that it may not. So for me, being in the position to do something I'm enjoying doing in a city I like doing, working with people I enjoy, I think my friends and people in the industry, they understood that.
Dave, one more from me. As you said before, baseball's got a lot on its plate. They got a CBA on the horizon. They're dealing with the virus just like we all are. And Nashville, as a city, has got a lot on its plate. So as you start putting your roots down here and you start building those relationships and network, have you been able to build and have some good, meaningful conversations with some city leaders like the mayor of Nashville or other mayors or outlying areas or whoever you think are the movers and shakers that you'll have to have working with you to get this done?
Yes, we have. And it's not just necessarily me. I mean, we're talking about our board and individuals. We talk about John Lohr, who's been doing this and helped bring me on board, and Alberto Gonzalez and Lee Barfield and others. They've been doing that. And yes, we can. Now, a lot of them are not in person. Some of them are Zoom at this time. And we do have an office in which we can socially distance and have a conference room where people can comfortably come in. But some people just, and we understand, are not comfortable to do that. But yes, I've actually been able to have quite a few of those conversations, but we also have to have a lot more. So, I mean, we've scratched the surface. We've had plenty. I think you probably, if you ventured it and say, "Oh gosh, have they made contact?" We've tried to reach out to everybody that we could possibly think about that would be interested in helping us secure a franchise in any way possible. So, yes, we have been able to have some very meaningful conversations.
We're talking to Dave Dombrowski, Music City Baseball, the Nashville Stars. And, you know, this show is one of those that we embrace the growth of this city, as you can imagine in the conversations we've had with you. We want to see it continue to grow. But there are people that, you know, believe it or not, that were against the NFL coming here, against the NHL, that – you know, and there's still that group that's like, "Hey, we're good. We just got the soccer team, got the football team and the hockey team." How do you address those people and their concerns about adding yet another professional franchise?
Well, I mean, I understand you're never going to have 100% support on no matter what you do. But I think you just have to show to them the benefits of having a Major League Baseball franchise here and the many ways in which there are benefits attached. I mean, it's a great entertainment for a family, for anybody, but for a family to come out and watch games. It's an affordable priced product compared to other sports. You're in a position where ours, again, we're looking at being more than just a baseball stadium, but an entertainment venue that would have events on it basically as many as days of a year as possible with a retractable roof stadium. So there's economic benefits to the city, tremendous economic benefits to the city, but also to the hotels, to the businesses that are here, brings a lot of tourism. And so I just think you just point out all those different aspects of it. And it doesn't mean that everybody's still going to want it. You understand that. But I think the benefits far surpass the negative reaction. And you can tell when you talk to people in the community that I think that's the general perception. And again, not that it's unanimous, but that that's what most people feel.
So I want you to put your GM hat on for a second, because I'm just curious of your opinion of how different, if at all, this year is going to be as these GMs get ready to go into free agency, as that's about to pick up with the uncertainty of COVID and, you know, what it's going to look like next year. You have to assume you're not going to have full stadiums. How do you think GMs and the prospective free agents are going to handle this year?
I think it's going to be a very difficult offseason. And I think it's a situation because anytime the key factor always is, from a club's perspective, is having a budget number that you work with. And that number is given to you from an ownership perspective. And then you work with those numbers to put your club together. The difficulty starts in the very beginning of what that revenue projection budget will be, because nobody knows if you're going to have full stadiums, which probably at this point is questionable, but who knows if we get a vaccine. Are we going to have half a stadium? We're going to have a quarter stadium? What the travel will be? I mean, there's just so many factors that are involved. And usually, even though the owners are quite wealthy, they're in a position where most of them are not just going to spend in a fashion when they don't have revenues to somewhat support their expenditures from their own individual operations of the team. So this is going to be a tough winter. And perhaps it slows the winter down, other than you see like Robbie Ray signed the other day with Toronto, very realistic 1 year, $8 million contract. You may see more of those type of situations where a player might say, hey, I'm just going to take a deal and I'm better off doing something like this. But I think that a lot of the market may languish for a while, maybe one of those where it takes a while to see how much revenue's out there. And as the further along you go in the winter, hopefully things get clearer for clubs. But it's going to be tough. It's not going to be an easy wintertime by any means.
Do you think there are some free agents that may have had the intentions of chasing the long-term big-money deal that would be willing to go more on the year-to-year just until things get back to where they, you know, it's somewhat normal, I guess you could put it?
Well, they may. They may do that. I think it'll all be dependent upon how those multi-year offers look from the few clubs or the clubs that may be willing to do that. So I think that they would prefer to have those long-term deals, but that's something they're going to weigh for a while in the wintertime. So there may be. It wouldn't shock me if there were more clubs, more players that end up saying, hey, I know the clubs may come through, but I feel secure for this one-year deal. I'm going to go ahead and take it. And not wait to see how the market clears up. However, there are enough, I mean, the star players, and again, I don't know what they're going to be offered, but if they get an offer for a five-year deal or a four-year deal that they think those dollars are sufficient, there won't be as many of them, but there'll be some of those that offers that come out there, in my opinion, and players end up taking it.
Dave, let's wrap up with this. You mentioned Eddie George earlier in the interview. And I've seen where he's come out and said he didn't do this just because, you know, he's fond of Nashville and this market and just wanted to put his name out there and let it be attached to it. He really wants to have real involvement. What does that mean to you guys when names like Eddie George are, you know, this is a football guy that is saying, hey, I'm not just lending my name. I actually want to be a part of this, you know, be a part of this group and let people know that, you know, if I need to be hands-on, I'm willing to do it.
Well, I think it's fantastic. I mean, I didn't know Eddie other than knowing his name and watching him play football throughout the years and know what a great player he had been. But I never met him until I got to town here, and he's as impressive an individual as you could possibly meet. His on-field accomplishments speak for themselves, but as a person and his intellect and pursuing some of the things he's done away from his playing days, I think it speaks tremendously for our organization and for our city. And when you can have somebody like Eddie lend that type of support, and really, he's willing to chip in and help us however he possibly can. I don't think that we can have benefited by anybody more. And there's other individuals, I think, that will jump in and help us along the way. But when you have somebody like Eddie, it's just tremendous.
I hope more and more news keeps coming out where we keep getting excited, because it's a lot of fun. And keep up the good work. And thanks for doing this. And we'll talk to you down the road here real soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, that is Dave Dombrowski, who is a part of Major League Baseball, the group Music City Baseball, to get MLB to our city, the Nashville Stars. And you just heard it. That was good stuff from him. We'll come back and react to what you just heard. But right now I'm going to react by telling you, wow, this is going to be a great sports week, right, and weekend. This weekend's major golf tournament, along with pro and college football, full slate of action for you. No shortage of action. And DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook that wants to put you right in the middle of all of it. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is going to ensure all new users that you are covered up to $100. That's right, you bet. They cover you risk-free Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action, and DraftKings will have special promotions and odds boost every day of this year's tournament in Augusta, Georgia. Things will begin tomorrow, so that's going to be fun. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up to ensure your Sunday bets up to $100, you use the code again, 1025GAME, during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only, risk-free coverage paid out on site credits. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and you need help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Don't forget Silly Underdog Picks tomorrow, high noon. We review and we make our selections. You can also make your selections. You get three college or pro picks however you want. And you can win weekly prizes starting every Thursday before all the action begins. There's some good, by the way, games on Thursday and Friday. But with the MAC, you've got Tuesday, Wednesday. It's great. You can't use that for underdogs. But starting on Thursday, you'll be able to make your picks. And this week's weekly winner will receive a gift card to Burger Republic. Just go to thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up and make your picks today. We had really, really good participation this year, but we want you to keep playing. Play along with us. We've had great turnout every year, and we want to keep that going. I can tell you guys without a doubt, and you know it, because, Willie, you said it in our group text off air. There was a lot that I perked up on during that interview with Dave Dombrowski, but I always will perk up when I hear retractable roof.
No question.
That was music to my ears.
So we'll get to that in a second. I want to start with this, though, because I think this is the most significant thing that has happened. And I'm not sure that it has been talked about enough in our city, because we've all had the question since this group started doing their thing. You know, how legit is this, right? We're just thinking, is this for real? You know, we're all thinking that, right? Just like we thought at the very beginning of the hockey, right? Hockey, sure. In Nashville, is this for real? You know, we NFL in Nashville, is this for real? We've all had that time, right, before it actually becomes a reality. And so you're looking for signs. And I've always wondered, just like for the example of Tony La Russa, he's been part of the group on some level. It's hard to know what everybody in the group does. And then he becomes the manager of the White Sox and he moves on, right? So you wondered with Dave Dombrowski, because when they hired him, we were all like, wow, and he's moving to Nashville. This is big. But then it really was tested here in the offseason, and Ken Rosenthal wrote the article that there were some teams that reached out to him. The Angels were one. There's a couple others that expressed some interest in hiring Dave Dombrowski, who's got a tremendous track record, as we know. But this is the significant part. He signed a four-year contract. So he's making a four-year commitment. He's making the commitment to Nashville. He's moved to Nashville, and this group is paying him, right? They're not just using his name and saying, hey, we got Dave Dombrowski, at least until he gets another job. This is a full commitment two ways. So I think that's a pretty big story in this whole, is this for real question? I think this is a big stepping stone to legitimacy. Now, as he says in this article with The Athletic, and he said to us just now, there's nothing certain, right? This is going to be a long project, and nothing is guaranteed. But you start to think, okay, this is more of a legit try than maybe some people might have thought of a year ago or 2 years ago.
Well, he said if it wasn't legit, and you know, he didn't feel like they had the money behind this and money to pay him, he wouldn't be doing this. He would have taken the job,
right? But, and he would know. Right? He's been around this group long enough, and he's been around baseball long enough.
I would hope so.
So do you guys view this as the you know, obviously baseball has to give them a team. They have to say we're expanding, or a team has to move, or what have you. But to me, the biggest obstacle is the stadium.
It is getting not the city. The team. Yeah. The biggest obstacle is without a doubt the plot of land, and, you know, getting – the right plot of land. To me, it's no secret. Major League Baseball is dying to be here. Okay, they want to be here. They want to have a Nashville market. There are two existing franchises that have had the same theme for years and years and years. And yes, the Rays just went the World Series. It's not changing a damn thing with the hole that they play in. It's a terrible, terrible stadium. We've played in it. It's the location doesn't work. The stadium doesn't work. And for right now, the city, it's not working. They've not been able to figure out a way to get them a new stadium. Oakland, it's no different.
Exactly the same.
While the Raiders leave and while the Warriors leave to go across the bridge and play in San Francisco, all that's left in that arena and football stadium that are right there in the same parking lot is a baseball team. That's it. That's all that's left standing. And nothing's changed again on that front. I worry about that. That honestly, in the pecking order, is down the list. Like, I don't even really think about that because I know they'll just figure it out, whether it's an existing team or they expand. If Nashville is ready and all the ducks are in a row and the plot of land and they break ground, whatever, all that stuff is in place and they have the backing, there'll be a team that'll find its way here, whether it's an expansion or an existing team. So that really is not my concern.
I think that's a good point. If you could wave a magic wand and have a facility ready to go, I think the A's and the Rays would be lining up, competing to try to get to Nashville, right? If you had the first-class facility ready to go. Because, like you said, this has been going on for a decade. Remember we had our Tampa Bay host on? We were like, hey, you got Brady, you got the Rays in the World Series, you got the Lightning that won. And we were like, hey, is there momentum for a new stadium? He said, no.
Yep.
I mean, they can't get off. They cannot get it done down there.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're in Nashville next. Remember he said something to that effect?
He said he was asking. He said, hey, does Nashville – because what does he say? What did he say? There's 7 years left on the existing lease. And so you're getting into that period of time where, you know, deals could be made in the next couple of years. Right? So we know there is no magic wand. And you're still at square one for the facility. And so that is the next thing, right? Because then there's expansion. There's different ways to do it. It's like if you build it, they will come. But as we know, it's a giant, giant project to build a stadium.
It is. And I also think that this process of getting the soccer stadium built has not been easy by any means.
Man.
And you know, the racetrack, we've talked about that. I feel like that it's not – sports have not become a priority for the city right now. And I understand that 2020 has changed a lot of things. But if you have leagues basically throwing themselves at you, which is what's happening, why wouldn't you want to figure it out? Especially in this case when the stadium is going to be privately funded. You just got to figure out the land. So I sure. just, you know, I don't understand that part. You know, the, but, you know, I've had, you guys know, I've had a ton of conversations with NASCAR people, and they're like, it's not us. I mean, we're going out to, we're excited to work with Dover and go out to, you know, Gladeville and the Super Speedway and be there. But, you know, we still want to be in the city. Steve O'Donnell told me that last week. He confirmed it. He said, you're not crazy to think that we would come there twice at two different racetracks.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, the further you go outside of Nashville, the more people are like, man, Nashville, that is where it's at. This is where it's going. So I think it was an interesting dynamic for Dombrowski to talk about the reaction he's gotten from the baseball circles, right? Because there's two things that he's got to do. He's got to continue to lay his roots down here and meet the right people in Nashville that can help this project. But also what he's done is, you know, can you imagine somebody, there's got to be some people that called him and said, Dave, Nashville, you could be the next GM at X or Y, or you got this team opening up over here. They want you, and you want to be in Nashville? You have no idea if they're going to come. And the fact that he is saying, yes, I do want to be in Nashville, I'm committing to Nashville, that's pretty big, I think.
Here's a crazy concept. He said his word means something. Wow. Oh. That's weird. That's so weird. It's so weird to hear. Wow, his word means something. Well, good for him.
Well, and I think that the fact that he believes that and has shown that over the years, that it's important to have that going for you. Nashville has that going for it now. A guy with that kind of credibility.
I just, every time a new layer presents itself, it's hard to continue to be skeptical. It really is. And I know this is not done deal. It's not, nothing's really changed, but this stuff is not going away. I keep saying that, but it not only not goes away, it gets more interesting, right? There's like another something like Eddie George. Like that's a prime
example. Eddie George is a big
one. George is not just, he's not just lending his name and saying, hey, yeah, love Nashville, love, this is my market. Yeah, use my name to help. No. Eddie has said it. I've seen him talk about this. He said, I will roll up my sleeves and do what they want me to do. I am willing to help this by getting in the middle of this and helping. I'm not just saying, yeah, I'll just throw out my name, Eddie George, and, you know, just to get people's attention.
First base coach, Eddie George. Wouldn't that be cool? Number 27, Eddie George, coaching first base. Because, you know, the running joke is like anybody could be the first base coach, right? You know, at the Little League game, you put the guy on the bench, coaches first. One of the dads coaches first. Like, anybody could coach first. So, Eddie George, that'd be an awesome first base coach. Give you the little high five when you come around, get the single, take your batting gloves. But, hey, two outs right here. Going on anything, all right? Get yourself a good lead. Pick up your signals from the third base coach. Okay, let's go.
When you listen to that interview with Dombrowski, how do you not get – you feel a little bit better? How do you not feel a little bit better about it? What am I missing? What?
No,
how could you still be full-blown skeptic listening to that? Like, you have to think there is something to this, right? They're not out of the woods. It's not – but this is going the right direction. It has been going the right direction all along. We've just been, especially early on, we're like, whoa, this is, we've heard this before, we've been down this road with other sport, like, we're not going to go diving in head first.
I'm getting less skeptical, but I'm still looking at a massive mountain that you're going to have to climb to get this, and you're just going to have a great team to get the whole thing done.
But so, is it that big? I mean, I know it's.
It just depends on how much money you're going to put down, right? Like, right. Are you just going to start saying, "Hey, we'll start building it. We got the money to do it." Like, how much money are we talking? Because a retractable roof stadium, we know what the price tag is, right? It's a B. It starts with a B. It's not in the M's.
It's a B.
It's a B. Maybe two B's.
Yeah, that's all right. It was good
because he
be
talked about an
B
entertainment
anyway.
An entertainment complex, which is to do it right. That's what you want. right? Where it's not just a ballpark with a bunch of parking lots around it. It's a scene, right? It's a Wrigley Field. It's a, you know, it's you come
Atlanta.
Out of the park and there's stuff going on. Yeah,
it's
the
Atlanta.
Battery in Atlanta. Sure, yeah. a lot of great examples.
And I think.
I mean, that is where it's baseball stadiums are today, right? That's what everybody's
That's the
doing.
Ideal. That's
the
what you're shooting for.
Yeah.
Not all of them are like that. I mean,
no.
There's still Yankee Stadium is not, you know, in a entertainment complex. Citi Field in New York is not an entertainment complex. I think they'd like to develop it into something more than it is. Dodger Stadium has always been, you know, it's hard to even know Dodger Stadium is there when you could be a half a mile from Dodger Stadium. You're like, this is where Dodger Stadium is. You can't see it. You're just in a regular neighborhood off the freeway. So there are exceptions, but the ideal setting is what you have at a Wrigley Field or a Fenway where it's a scene, right? And ideally close to downtown. And that also is another major question is if it's not downtown, then what is a spot that you could make work where you could get some land, right? Is it over by the Titans facility or the practice facility? Is it that area? Is it north of town? Is it west of town? You know, there's a lot of
downtown.
It's got to be downtown.
Downtown is where you got to exhaust every possibility of it being downtown, right?
I don't think it works.
It's got to be.
I know people have thrown out what Atlanta did of building the Braves Stadium, you know, 20 minutes from downtown in Cobb County. They've thrown that. I just don't see that working here.
Their traffic situation is so incredibly bad. Well, and they also did market research and realized they found out where most of their fans were coming from, and it was that area. And they're like, okay, so that is basically the heartbeat of our fan base. So it's out on the. It's a little bit on the outskirts. It gives you a little bit of traffic relief, a little bit. You know, the further you get out a little bit, rather than having to go into the heart of downtown, and that's where a big portion of our fan base is, so let's go there.
Sure.
That Atlanta's a different dynamic because Atlanta's a much bigger market for this city and this market. You have to go downtown. You can get plots of land all over the place. I mean, hell, you could build out the old Starwood Amphitheater. I mean, I drive by there all the time. It's still sitting there, grass.
Yep.
Well, I can see the concrete. Right. I'm sure they'd give that to you.
No question. I'm talking about I'm talking about sort of on the edge of downtown, kind of like the soccer stadium idea, the fairgrounds, or even First Tennessee Park. You're on the edge of downtown. You're not downtown because, as we know, real estate is tight. That's
disrespect, Willie. 81 home games a year. You need to be in possibly the most vibrant city in the country. That's downtown. Right, we always talk about the scene of Broadway around Preds games.
You don't have to convince me.
You gotta go.
I am 100% with you
dates,
on that. Like Cincinnati, would
around.
Be one that's right on. You know, right there. It's in the downtown. It looks great. Pittsburgh. You know, we've been to a lot of places where that's the setting. So,
but they haven't really built
where?
Up around there.
But where
it used to be the old riverfront, there was that. But it was the warehouse district. They kind of turned into bars and restaurants. But now this setup, it's not really like that. It
What are you talking
I don't
about?
Think so.
Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of places.
No, there's a ton of bars.
Oh, a ton?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a
lot,
cool there's a
like
cool
the places
district.
That we're talking about, like Chicago and
Well, it's
Atlanta.
Hard to match that. It's hard to match that.
Yeah, but I mean,
well,
there's
Atlanta,
a cool
Atlanta is made with the park, right? That's a unique thing where they, like, built the park and that stuff at the same time. I definitely think Cincinnati, the area around the ballpark, the Great American Park, has been built up over time. There's a lot of bars and restaurants right outside the park, and then if you walk across the highway or
now
the
that's
street,
different.
Then
walk
you can
across,
go
then you gotta get it into downtown Cincinnati. I'm
right.
talking about right around
okay.
the stadium.
So
the
let's
banks.
Take let's take
the
Nashville,
banks.
Right? So,
the,
so
Cincinnati
let's go back
has a place
the,
called the Banks right next to the stadium that has
right.
built up in the last several years.
And okay. then you go
I
across the bridge
I,
and
honestly,
you're in Kentucky.
I don't think I've been there in the last several years, so probably I didn't see it.
But it's not bad. It's not the best. But it's a good atmosphere. So, Darren, what are you thinking? If you're advising them, what are you doing?
Well,
where do you go?
I mean,
we know it's real estate's tight.
I think you're putting me on the spot. I mean, I know the area that, you know, has been proposed. I don't know if that's realistic or not. What about maybe out where Top Golf is, right? They've started moving that direction. That's still right there, close. Right. What about that area?
Right by First Tennessee Park. You're on the edge of Germantown.
Yeah, you're right. You're on the edge of Germantown. Yeah. You're on the back end of Nissan, right? So you're kind of in that area? I mean, I don't know. That seems like it's maybe lending a little bit more land and space to maybe build up that area.
Possibly.
And before anyone texts in, no, they cannot retrofit First Horizon Park. That has been debunked.
No.
They cannot do that.
That's not, no.
But I think
I guess anything you could do, but they're sort of way past. I think when they originally built it, they had a thought, but the infrastructure around, what is it now? It's not First Tennessee anymore.
First Horizon.
First Horizon Park, you've built a lot of stuff around there. They've created a nice little thing where you walk outside the stadium. There's lots of places to go. That's pretty cool. So that would all have to be changed around to try to do this, which is also part of the equation, right? How do you work your way out of AAA? Yeah.
What do you do with that stadium that they just built? I mean, I do understand that. Certainly got to figure that out.
All right, we'll come back and we'll put a bow on the second hour. Good conversations. Don't forget Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon. But right now I want to talk to you about Blue Note Juke Joint. Yeah, small batch bourbon crafted right here in our state, right in Memphis, Tennessee. Blue Note Juke Joint is artfully crafted to honor the blues. That's important to them. And the Blue Note Juke Joint is smoother than smooth. You hear me say that all the time because it is. It's unfiltered at 93 proof. Blue Note Juke Joint is available all across Nashville, here in Middle Tennessee, and the entire state of Tennessee. So go look for it. And the Blue Note Bourbon family includes Blue Note Juke Joint and the Blue Note Premium Small Batch, a 9-year bourbon that I have not tried yet, but I am very much looking forward to that. You can follow them on Instagram at Blue Note Bourbon and Facebook. You can go find them there for more information can be found. Don't forget the holidays are just around the corner. It's holiday time, right? If you're looking for that special gift for that bourbon lover right in the time for holidays, you can go find some special Blue Note single barrel selections at several liquor stores right here in Nashville. It's Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth.
Darren Donican Chase rolling right along here on a Wednesday. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at the top of the hour. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Darren McFarlane hanging out with you. And Willie, I know, going to get some maybe potentially an update on what's going to happen with the NHL soon. A Board of Governors meeting taking place tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, we've been discussing, is it going to be January 1st or somewhere around that? Maybe we get some answers to that tomorrow.
Yeah, just following Elliot Friedman's coverage of this, he's got a couple of details of what has been going on in the backdrop. But also, Gary Bettman actually made some public comments yesterday.
Did he get booed?
I don't know. It doesn't say in the article, but we can assume yes, right, if there was any kind of crowd there. It's a conditioned response. I mean, come on.
Gary. Don't boo Gary.
Go easy on the commish there. Come on. Shake it up. Come on.
Thank you, Homer.
So, Elliot does report Board of Governors meeting tomorrow, and I think we're going to get some direction. I don't know if we're going to get finality. So, here are some things. Of course, Elliot likes to put out the thoughts, right? Here's what we're hearing. A recommendation may not be ready by Thursday, but they're going to get into some progress towards finalizing the recommendation to the Board of Governors. They hope to have the Stanley Cup awarded no later than July 15th. So they're thinking if it takes an extra month, then they can do that. and obviously they don't want to jeopardize the following season. But July 15th is the drop-dead date that they want to be finished by. The potential games, as we were talking about yesterday, they're saying as few as 50, this is Elliott, as few as 56, as many as 72. The later you start, the numbers would drop. It's possible the league decreases the number of games to keep a couple of open weeks at the end of the regular season in case cancellations create a need to balance the schedule. This is what the SEC did, right? And the Big Ten did not. And the NFL really did not, right? And we talked about how that could complicate things. So they want to give a little cushion in the schedule. If those prove to be unnecessary, the playoffs would then just move up and you would start the playoffs earlier, and that way you could be done earlier. The discussion around the hubs, right? Gary Bettman at the Paley International Council Summit. So I don't know who comes to that, but Chase, there's your answer to whether he got booed. We just don't know who was at the Paley International Council Summit and why was the commissioner there. I don't know.
I was not invited to that.
You weren't invited? I wasn't either. I didn't get the invite there.
I don't think Darren was either.
But he put out there the possibilities include teams playing in their own arenas, in hubs, or in a hybrid system. According to multiple sources, there is a growing push for teams to play in their own buildings with or without fans. One reason, for example, is naming rights on these arenas. With fewer events, those sponsorship deals could be effective or could be affected. And this is, again,
and that's interesting because I never really, you know, you don't think about that, just top of mind, but it's a very good point.
Well, here's what the commissioner said. He said short-term hubs, they're exploring that with teams subbing in and out for action over the course of 10 to 12 days or some sort of hybrid system. This is what Bettman said. They haven't ruled out having teams play in their own arenas, though. So these are all the things that they're trying to put together. And maybe you start with these hubs and you eventually work your way to the arenas. I think that would be ideal. And so this is Bettman. Quote, you'll play a bunch of games without traveling. You'll go back, go home for a week, be with your family. We'll have our testing protocols and all the other things you need. It's not going to be quite as effective as a bubble, but we think we can, if we go this route, minimize the risk to the extent practical and sensible. And so that's one of the things we're talking about. In other words, they don't want to ask the players to bubble up for a long period of time, but they want to have a semi-bubble, I guess.
Right, which a semi-bubble would make sense. But, I mean, you know, we talked about them polling the players and what they would prefer to do. I would imagine the ones that didn't care that are like, sure, we'll bubble, they probably don't have families to worry about. You know, it's just them. And, you know, a lot of players, the Predators especially, I mean, they have families. And, you know, a lot of them are growing families now because of, you know, some announcements that have happened in the last few weeks. So I can understand not wanting to be away from small children or their significant others for as long as it would take to go to the full-on bubble. So I just wonder what, you know, what the divisions will look like.
Right.
If there'll
and
be
he
this
mentions
realignment.
They may have to temporarily realign to deal with geography and, of course, the Canadian teams who have issues traveling. So we've talked about that before. So that looks like it's gaining more and more traction here. So who's going to be in the Predators division for this year? I'm not sure. There could be a couple
of.
Will
there be an
tweaks.
Actual Canadian division?
Oh, it looks like that is how they're going to have to roll, at least to start with, I would think, unless the border stuff changes. It's an issue.
I got a tweet from Terrell when we were after, I guess it was right, I didn't see it till right after Dave Dombrowski. Said, did you guys ask if the Blue Jays are considering Nashville for a temporary location? MLB can get a test look of how we will support MLB in Tennessee. I've seen nothing out there. I mean, I know there's the story about the Raptors exploring Nashville, and that's a real story. But I've seen nothing of the Blue Jays having talks of playing in Nashville. In fact, I know they played in Buffalo this past year. But as of right now, I think the latest thing I read is that they're still trying to figure out a way to play in Toronto this year. But I've seen nothing of Nashville. Did I miss that?
No, I haven't seen anything on the Blue Jays. Now, the Raptors thing, I do think you might hear something here pretty soon. They're going to start December the 22nd, which means training camp would have to start a few weeks before that. And it just seems like Nashville is in the ring, right? It's up to the Raptors, I guess, where they want to go. right? And, you know, where do you want to have your families? Where do you – what about the travel? What about the weather? I wonder if the NBA has influence, or is it strictly up to the Raptors to say, we want to go to Nashville, or we want to go to Newark, or we – because, as we said before, geographically, Newark makes the most sense. You could – you know, you could kick, you wouldn't have to leave. But your team has to be set up in Newark or near Newark the whole season. So what do you want for your players? So as we know, what we just talked about with Dave Dombrowski, Nashville is pretty attractive, right? Nashville, the further you go away, it's like, hey, what's going on in Nashville? Let's check that out. I heard Nashville is a great place. I think that turns heads. So I don't know how Toronto feels about it, but I think you can't rule it out.
I'm surprised that hasn't come up.
Well, we know Canadian NBA teams love this state, so it would make sense.
Isn't that crazy? What was the first year of the Raptors and the Grizzlies? 94?
Early 90s. 93. I was thinking 93.
93, 94, 95.
I think the Raptors might have been 95.
They both came in the same year. It might be 94, 90, 95.
95.
95. Okay. So yeah, Big Country Reeves, you had Jimmy King from the Fab Five. Those were the first couple picks. But Toronto and Vancouver, right? Vancouver, we know, is in Tennessee. Maybe Toronto could be
in
Tennessee.
Can you imagine? I mean, the only two Canadian NBA teams. And what if they both play their season in the state of Tennessee? I mean, we know, like you said, one is for sure, but what if the other? I mean, that'd be pretty wild. Something. Yep. All right, we will come back. Our man Tim Hasselbeck in the on-deck circle. We'll switch gears, talk NFL Titans with him to start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.